Acts chapter number 27. And if you'll stand with me, we're going to begin reading in verse number 14. Acts chapter 27 and verse number 14. Last week we started this message, and honestly it's kind of two different messages, but out of the same portion of Scripture. Last week we preached a message on how to avoid a hopeless situation and the mistakes that were made by these folks that ended up with their ship in the midst of a storm. And I promised you, please, don't listen to last week's message and then fail to come to this week's message, because I want to preach on this subject, finding hope in a hopeless situation. So how to avoid a hopeless situation last Sunday, this Sunday, finding hope in a hopeless situation. Chapter 27, verse 14, not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest any should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lighted the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, here's the verse, folks, here's the phrase, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told unto me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Now, we can't leave them in the middle of the storm. So let's read down through the end of the chapter and find out what happened. But then, when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down Andria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boats into the sea under the color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, and there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 216 souls. And when they that had eaten enough, they lighted the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with the shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible to thrust in the ship. When they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the fore part stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Heavenly Father, thank you for this story, Lord. There's much to learn, Lord. And so as we direct, dear God, our attention to the the verses, Lord, that we'll isolate for consideration this morning. May we, Lord, gain hope. And I pray, Lord, if there is one here that feels like that perhaps they're facing circumstances, Lord, if they're facing a set of circumstances in their life that causes them to feel the feeling of hopelessness, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to find hope in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I've been excited to preach this message, looking forward to it throughout the week, finding hope in a hopeless situation. I like that word hope. I think it's a good January word. I think it's a good New Year's word. And so we're going to focus on the idea of hope and a little bit about what the Bible has to say about hope. I like the word hope because it's in the name of our church. Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If you get off on 70 and you head this way, you'll drive past three Hope churches. You'll get to New Hope, and then you'll come a little farther south and you'll get to Good Hope, and then you'll finally get to Blessed Hope. And I always tell folks, the farther south you go, the better it gets. I promise you it's true. And I couldn't help but think, boy, you know what? I know you're not supposed to preach outlines based on anything but the Bible, but that's a pretty good outline right there. You know, you get saved, you have new hope. You have hope you didn't have before. There's hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in God. And then, you know what? The more that you obey the Bible and learn to live for the Lord, you begin to experience a good hope. And that hope that came into your soul as far as eternity begins to permeate every part of your life. And the more that you read the Bible and conform to the Bible and obey the Bible, the more that you see God and godly and good hope come into your life. And then as you grow in grace, you learn about the blessed hope. And I'm just going to read the portion of scripture from which we get the name of our church. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And I do think that there's a growth process, that new hope that comes with salvation, that good hope as you begin to grow in grace and knowledge. But folks, we all want to get to that mature Christian life where we become focused on looking for that blessed hope. And you know what? All of our life's decisions, then, the way we live, the way we conduct ourselves, our activities, our energies, are then altered because, you know what? Jesus Christ is coming back again. And we must work while we can, work while there's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. But here we read a story where people had lost hope. I think one of the saddest verses in the Bible, I mentioned it last week, verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. A hopeless, apparently hopeless, situation. There's no feeling so demoralizing as the feeling of hopelessness. When all hope is taken away, a man confronts despair. Satan, folks, listen to me. I want you to know where that's coming from. I'm gonna shine the light. I'm gonna expose the rascal. Satan wants you to believe that your situation is hopeless. God wants you to understand that in his eyes, there has never been a hopeless situation, a hopeless situation. Preacher, we got some good warning last week. We got some good exhortation. We studied and learned how to avoid these type of storms. And I want to remind you of this, folks. There are storms. There are storms that you will be asked to go through that is part of the will of God. But there are also some storms that you can find yourself into in the midst of that could have been avoided. And this is one of those storms. Now, I want to just point some things out. Watch this. Preacher, I need hope. My situation, to be honest with you, seems a bit hopeless. I need hope going into a new year. How do you find hope in a situation that seems hopeless? All right, we're going to begin by listening to the Apostle Paul and listening to what he says, beginning in verse number 1. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me." Let me stop right there and give you point number 1. Acknowledge your mistakes. Acknowledge your mistakes. Folks, listen to me. I want to help you here, and I'm not going to re-preach last week's, but I'm going to review last week's right now. You know, a lot of times what we want help, we want hope in a hopeless situation, but you know what? God isn't nearly as concerned about fixing our circumstances as he is us learning the lessons that created our circumstances. Now, this might seem to some of you a little harsh that the Apostle Paul would start with this statement. But you know what? He did it for a reason. This wasn't, I told you so. But it was a statement that caused them and made them have to stop and confront the fact that they had made some mistakes. We seen last week, we talked about three mistakes that were made by the captain of this ship and the men of this ship. Number one, spending too much time in the fair havens of life. Spending too much time in the fair havens of life. Remember, folks, God, preacher, I just want to go and find a place where it's trouble-free and worry-free and problem-free. And you know, first of all, you're never going to find that spot. And if you do, it's not going to stay that way very long. But if we're not careful, we get to a comfortable spot in our Christian life, kind of a fair havens environment. And what we want to do is just stay there. But folks, listen to me, and we're gonna give you our theme next Sunday. I'll be kind of introducing a little bit tonight, spend Sunday morning, Sunday night next week, really focusing on the theme and the goals for next year. You say, preacher, why? Come on, again? Another theme, more goals. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining there. Listen, folks, the Christian life is a mountain climb. It's an upward. If you stop, you're going to start backsliding. You're either going forward, or you won't stand still very long. You'll be going backwards. And these folks made a mistake of the fair havens. Number two, failing to listen to the warnings of the man of God. Here Paul, who had met with God, came and told them what God had told him and the warnings that he brought, and they did not listen to the warnings. And again, folks, I plead with you, listen to me. When a preacher stands up in front of you behind a pulpit with an open Bible and reads the Bible and warns you from the Word of God, take heed to the Scriptures. Take heed to the Word of God. Take heed to its warnings. Because had they done that, they would not have found themselves in the midst of the storm. I'm not re-preaching these. Always look for, here's the third mistake they made. Always looking for greener pastures. They didn't want to leave the fair havens. Then they realized that it was a great summer place to stay and fall place to stay, but a lousy winter place to stay. So they decided to try to make it to some place that seemed a little better. In doing that, they fell into the storm. Now, what he's saying, why are we reviewing this? Look up here, let me help you. Listen, folks, if you want to find hope in a hopeless situation, Brother Paul starts out by saying this, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Don't repeat the mistakes you made before. I think one of the great responsibilities that every one of us have right now at the time we find ourselves in is that we have an opportunity to look back at 2014, and hopefully we have the humility and the honesty to examine a life lived and say, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? Or what could I have done better? And to be honest about those things. You know, folks, if everything that ever goes wrong in your life is always somebody else's fault, you're probably going to have to fight through another year of God taking you to the woodshed until you realize, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Now, I'm going to promise you that I'm going to do that. I've already done that. I've spent time doing that. Listen, I want to learn from, yes, the victories, but I also want to learn from the failures of life. I don't want to keep repeating the same mistakes. I've had situations I've dealt with in the last 2 years where I've had people that have got themselves in storms that they should not have gotten themselves into. Why? Because they made one of these mistakes. They wanted to spend too much time in the fair havens of life. They weren't listening to the warnings of the Scriptures as delivered by the man of God, or they're always looking for greener pastures. And you know what? Here's the thing. Here's the sad thing. Some of them that I've dealt with in the last couple years and helped are now in another storm. You know why? Because they are repeating the same mistakes again. Folks, listen, young people, learn early. Learn early that if you're going through a tough time of your own making, and don't look like you never have, okay, of your own making. Sometimes that's just hard for Baptists to say. It was my fault. Yeah, but if they, well, what? Let's go through the list of but what if you would have. And what you could have handled better. And what you could have done differently. Because if you're not willing to learn from what has got you into the storm you're in now, then you know what? God's going to get you out of it because he's a gracious God. But if you don't learn from those mistakes, you'll put yourself back in it again. And folks, all of us, if I was mean enough, I could call names. I've watched people just live in this vicious cycle where, you know what? They get themselves in trouble. People and God pitch in and help bail them out. And you know what? They swear they've learned their lesson. And 2 or 3 months later, they're back in the same situation. And folks, listen, it's time we developed a humble heart and are willing to just go to the scriptures and say, God, listen to me. I'm tired of living on this vicious cycle, this treadmill of disaster and despair. And Lord, what do I need to learn? What do I need to do different? Well, preacher, if the circumstances of life would change, if people would change, if people would just be different, if it's always somebody else and it's never you, then I just look up here, I'll be honest with you, probably can't help you much. I just can't help you much. Because the only way that you're going to better your circumstances and better your life is to understand and take responsibility for your part. I'm not saying take responsibility of other people's part. I understand circumstances sometimes are beyond our control, but it's amazing how we can either react properly to a bad circumstance or improper. We can make it better or we can make it worse. Come on now. And so what we need to do is take a look back and say, what do I need to learn from the past year? Acknowledging your mistakes. That's what Paul starts out with. He says, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Number two, watch this. I'm going to give you this. Preacher, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. Everybody's got it good but me. You just don't understand how horrible 2014 was for us. Number two, adopt a new outlook on your situation. Now notice what Paul says next. Watch this. He said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of what? Anybody got a Bible? Be of what? Good cheer. Very good. Now wait, what? Well, we'll fix my problem, then I can be of good cheer. No, be of good cheer and then God will fix your problem. Now watch this, folks. I want to help you. You need to adopt a new outlook on your situation. You know what Paul says? First of all, he said, you should have hearkened unto me. You need to learn why you're here and don't make that mistake again. Number two, he says the most amazing thing. He says this, cheer up, be happy. Paul, are you looking around? Yeah, I know. Let's be happy. Let's put a smile on our face. Let's be of good cheer. Now watch this, folks. When you get yourself convinced that you're in a hopeless situation, then your mind begins to do what I call stinking thinking. And again, you become, listen, we've all been there. And we become our own worst enemy. Oh, it's bad. It's just bad. I hear this. Oh, it's just bad. It's just bad. Just keep saying that. Say it 50 more times in the next 3 days. And you know what? You're going to still believe it's bad. And it's bad. It's bad. Well, here's a verse. And we know that all things work together for bad. No, bad. Remember, it's all bad. I mean, you try to bring an optimistic verse to some people and they get mad at you. I don't want to hear anything positive. I just want to sit here in my pew and stink about this whole situation. I don't want to be happy. You know what Paul says? Cheer up. Cheer up. Be of good cheer. It's bad. Well, watch this. I'm not saying that what's happened in your life is good, but I am telling you this. God said that all things can work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to his purpose. And folks, come on now. I didn't start this thing the other day. I'm not a novice. I've been saved, listen, for a good night, 48 years this year I've been saved. And you know what? I've lived long enough to see God take something that seemed to be bad at the time and bring good out of it. I believe God. I have faith in God. You know what? I don't care how bad things get. I believe that God is ultimately in control, and I believe he can bring good out of it. And listen, I've just lived too long and watched him too long not to believe the Bible. It's bad, preacher. It's not fair. Here's what you hear, God. You preacher, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. You don't, everybody else is having a good time and nobody else is going through trials and it's just not fair. Now, first of all, that's not true. Okay, that's not true. Do you pray for your church family? Do you go through and pray through the list of your church family? If you do and you know anything about anybody's particular situation, you can't pray through and pray by a family that's not facing something. that doesn't have challenges. Watch this, that doesn't have heartaches, that doesn't have disappointments. One of the devil's classic things that he uses on us is to try us to believe that, you know what, we're the only ones that are going through this and nobody can understand. The Bible says this, there's no temptation taking you, but what which is common to man. This idea that no one has ever faced what you're facing is baloney. There's been a lot of people in the history of the human race that's faced very much the same circumstances. Some have let those circumstances destroy them. Some has let those circumstances propel them to higher, greater heights and victories. You got to just listen. Listen, you can give me the horror stories, but you can give me the success stories. And you got to decide which you're going to be. It's not fair. You know what Brother Job said to his wife? Watch this. I mean, if anybody had a reason to say nobody's ever gone through what I've gone through, it might be Brother Job. But you know, when his wife came to him and says, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." He said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" And all this did not Job sin with his lips. And so in life, you're going to find out this. God's very good and allows a lot of good to come into our life. But let me say this also, folks. Nobody's life is not without challenges and trials and heartaches and disappointments. You hear your preacher say this a lot. I'm just going to keep one of those sayings after I'm dead. I hope people say, you know what Pastor Jerry Ross used to say? This is one of them. Watch this. By the time your life is over, by the time life is over, you're going to find out that there's more than enough heartache to go around. Never be glad in somebody else's heartache. Never get judgmental about somebody else's situation. I promise you, it might be that family this year. It could be your family next year. It could be my family the year after. There's more than enough heartache to go around. It's part of life. You know what Job was saying to his wife? He was saying, this is the terminology he used. This is what he said. He denounced her as a foolish woman. Why? Because she had in her mind that she was supposed to stand there and receive nothing but good and blessing all of her life, and everything was always supposed to go right. And not one trial, not one disappointment. Folks, listen to me. She's mad at God, but the honest truth is God is he's the Father of lights, and every good and perfect gift comes from him. But let me tell you what we are. We're sinners. And you know what? As long as you have a world contaminated by sin, you're going to have heartache and disappointment. What we want to do is when something that is a result of sin hurts us, we want to blame God. Why are you blaming him? He didn't have anything to do with sin. He's perfect. And so what I was saying is this, get off this. Now listen, you got to change your outlook on the situation. Say, "Preacher, but it is bad." All right, it's bad, but God can work it for good. Yes. "Preacher, it's not fair." Do you really want fair? I don't. Do you really want fair? I don't. You know what's fair? If God was going to be fair, Jerry Ross should be right now in hell burning and suffering for my own sins. You know what's not fair? That the King of the universe, Jesus Christ, had to leave the portals of heaven and take upon him flesh and come down and be mistreated and spit upon and beat and have a crown of thorns run into his brow for my sins. That's not fair. I don't want fair. I want grace. I don't want fair. I want mercy. And you know what? I'm saved. And you know what? I'm going to be in heaven one of these days. And God's my Father. And you know what? Listen, if along the course of this short vapor, as we travel this short life, if I am being asked of God to face a few things that are a little bit difficult, you know what? Compared to what I really deserve, he's not asking that much of me. Hey, folks, what I'm saying is that cancel the pity party. Come on, stop it. You need to take a step back, all right? Number one, it's bad. Yeah, but you know what? I've watched God take something that's bad and bring a lot of good out of it. And you know what? That's his character. It's not fair. You don't want fair. Here's another thing. Watch this. I can't do this. I watch people just get to the point where they just, I can't do this. I just can't do this. Well, Brother Paul faced some pretty hard things, but God used him to pen these words. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I love that verse. I love his attitude. You know what he said? He said, some days I've been exalted. Some days I've been abased. Some days I've suffered want and loss. And some days I've abounded. But you know what? I found out that God's with me no matter what. And he's with me in the good times. And he's with me in the bad times. And he's with me on the mountaintops. He's with me on the valley. And he's with me in the noonday sun. And he's with me in midnight when I can't see a star in the sky. And folks, he's right there on that ship. And he's with them. And there was one man that went and found him and talked to him and came out and looked at everybody else and said, cheer up. Cheer up. Now, folks, listen, I want you to get this. I can't do this. Yes, you can. Preacher, I've come to the end of my rope. Then tie on a knot on it and hang on and pray. Through Christ, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do this. The last thought, the last thing that people say, and that you just need to, it's hopeless. It's preacher, it's hopeless. I want to read some verses to you. I don't think you're going to find out that God has any respect. He doesn't pay any creed, any acknowledgement to the idea of hopelessness. Romans 4, I'm just going to read these to you. Romans chapter 4, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I made thee a father of many nations, before whom? Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, I love this, this is what's said of brother Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall his seed be. 89-year-old wife, 99-year-old man, and God comes to him and says, hey, remember I promised you a son? And he's like, I know that, Lord, but it's hopeless now. And God says, no, it's not. I'm going to give you a son still. And you know what he did? Watch this. I love this little statement. I love it. This could transform your outlook. Who against hope believed in hope. Even though a situation looked hopeless, in Abraham's heart, he said, I believe God, and therefore I still have hope. Don't give up. Don't give up. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. You know what? If you have hope in God, you can put a smile on your face. You can be of good cheer. Romans chapter 8, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You know what hope is? Hope is believing in something that you can't see yet. Hope is having the patience to say, you know what? God in his time is going to remember me, and he's going to smile upon me, and he's going to bless me, and I'm not going to have to live the rest of my life in this present circumstance. There is a God, and he's aware of where I'm at, and he's on his way. I like that. I like that. How about this? Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And so how do you have hope in the face of hopelessness? Folks, watch this. You acknowledge your mistakes. If you've sinned, get it under the blood. Close the chapter. Learn from it. Look forward with a brand new attitude and a brand new outlook. It's never as bad as the devil tries to convince you it is. It's not, listen, you're not the only one that's going through it. You can do it. You can by God's grace, and it's never hopeless, because anywhere there is God, there is hope. Now let's move on. Number three, say, preacher, what's the next thing Paul says? Boy, I hope you're getting this. I'm having fun preaching. I don't know if you're having any fun listening to it or not. Sirs, look in verse 21. Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. Learn from your mistake. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Get a different outlook. Get a different outlook on life. Now watch this. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. Boy, here we go. Watch this. Preacher, in the face of hopelessness, what should I do? Rededicate yourself to serving the Lord. Rededicate yourself to serving the Lord. You know why Paul had a sense of hope that the rest of the people didn't have? Because he knew two things. I belong to God and I serve God. Yes, I want to stop right there. This is what he said. He said this. He said, there's two things that I can say. I can stand here and look at every one of you on this ship, and there's two things I can say. I belong to God. I'm his. And you know what? I serve the Lord. Now, why would he say that? Let me give you a wonderful verse. And this verse has undergirded me and blessed me, honestly, since the day I was called to preach at 17 years of age. Watch this. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Now, you know what? Sometimes we want to lay claim to a promise that we don't have any right to. A lot of times people want to read the first part of that verse. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Okay, great, but this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I'm going to give you something. Watch this. The best spiritual insurance policy that you can take out for 2015 on you and your family is a life faithfully spent serving the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to help you, folks. Listen, again, I'm not a novice. You know, I say this from time to time. I didn't fall off the turn-up truck. I drove it in. I've watched people. I've dealt with people for a long time. Listen to me. People go through a tough time. And you know what? My heart goes out to them. I'm not trying to minimize the challenges of a difficult situation. But a lot of times I watch people go through a hard time, and the first thing they want to do is quit serving the Lord. Quit serving the Lord. They come into my office, preacher, things are just going really crazy in our lives right now, and I think we need to step away from our Sunday school class. You know, our lives are just, we're facing challenges and it's hard, and I just need to be off the bus route for a while. Preacher, could you find someone else to take the nursing home service, because, you know, our family's going through this. Wait! You know where your protection is? As long as you can stand on a boat, I don't care if the boat is disintegrating under your feet. If you can say two things, I belong to God, and you can't say that if you've never been saved. Have you been saved? You know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Because if you've never been saved, you're not a child of God. The minute you have been, how many saved? How many saved? Raise your hand. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can say the first one.
Yes, sir.
You know what? Who's I am? Who's God? I forget what it says now. Amen. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am. I belong to him. I'm a child. Look right up here. Jerry Ross is a child of God. Say, who's your father? Well, my earthly father was Robert Lee Ross. Leo Ross. Robert Leo Ross. But my heavenly father is the creator of the universe.
Yes,
Jehovah God. He's my father.
Amen.
I'm his. A lot of Christians can say that, but they can't say the next thing. And listen to me. If you want protection, and you want help, and you want to be delivered, then you know what? The last thing in the world you ought to do is start backing off and quitting to serve the Lord when things get rough. I'm going to tell you a little thing I do. And I've shared this secret with you, and it works. I promise you it works. The devil attacks me or attacks my family. You know what I do? I always plan a counterattack. Makes good sense. Makes good military sense. Come on, veterans. I mean, if the devil's going to attack me, I'm going to plan a counterattack. Which means what? It means this. I'm not going to serve God less because of the attack. I'm going to serve God more because of the attack. I kind of think it's a good insurance policy. I kind of believe what the Bible says here, that no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise up in judgment against thee, thou shalt condemn. Listen, that is the heritage of those that choose to serve the Lord. The first reaction is often the worst reaction. People go through a trial of testing, a Euroclide, and I get it. The first thing you do is want to quit serving the Lord. Now, look right up here. I'm going to help you something. Come on. Look right up here. I'm going to help everybody in this room with something. 2 years ago, were you serving the Lord more here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church or less? What are you doing anymore? I'm talking about those of you that have just slowly checked out. Preacher, are you preaching to me? If you've slowly checked out, I'm preaching exactly to you. Amen. I'm not preaching to Calvary Baptist. I'm not preaching to Bethel Baptist. I'm preaching to Blessed Old Baptist Church. Every once in a while, someone, well, you preached that message. I think you had me in mind. I probably did. I pastor you. And what I'm saying is this, folks, Bible principles transcend everyone and all generations, and you're not the first one that's gone through something. You're not the last one that's gone through something. And if you're quitting stuff because you're going through a hard time, you're making a mistake.
Yes, sir.
It's not time to quit attending church. It's time to attend church more than you ever had in your life. It's not time to quit serving the Lord. It's time to come to the preacher and say, give me something else to do. It's time to get busy for the Lord. Please listen to what I'm saying. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen to me. If the devil, now here's, let me just use common sense with you. If the devil knows that every time he attacks you, you're going to quit something, why would he stop attacking you? But if he knows that you're made out of different stuff, you know, we need some soldiers. We need some. We need to get a little grit in us. We need to get a little backbone. If he learns that every time he hits you and attacks you, you're coming back at him, I wonder which person he might leave alone, which person he's going to keep attacking. This kind of makes good sense to me. Paul stood up, and the last thing he told him was this. I love this. He says in verse 24, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. You know what he was telling them? He's saying this, and I want you to get this. Number four, realize God's not done with you yet. Okay, we got teenage girls over here. Which one of you have a mirror? Somebody's got a mirror. Don't look at me like you don't have one. Okay, you got a mirror. All right, let me see that. All right, you got it. Okay, does it have stuff in it? What is this? It's powder. Okay, gunpowder? I get gunpowder. What do you do with this powder? Put it on your face? All right, okay. All right, there's. Anybody got a mirror without powder in it? What I'm going to do, I'm a little scared. I'm just scared to do it. All right, get you a mirror. I'm going to show you. Preacher, I just think God's done with me and there's nothing left. And you know what? I've thrown everything away. And. All right, you go home and you find a mirror, and you go like this. Now, if it fogs up, God's not done with you yet. Because if you're, listen, the day God's done with you, you won't be breathing anymore. Now, I mean it. I want you to do it. I want you to go home. I'm going to have so many moms mad at me. There's going to be so many mirrors that are going to have to be cleaned after this. Because, you know, kids, they're not going to just breathe on it. Then they're going to have to write in it, you know. If you're breathing. Now, listen to me. I know what the devil's telling you, but he's a stinking liar.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you've blown it. You've messed up. You've messed so many times. God doesn't have me. He's just done with you. That is a stinking lie. The devil wants to bring you to a place of hopelessness, and God always is the one who brings you to a place of hope. And you know what? If you're still breathing, God has something for you to do. Preacher, 2014 has been rough. You know what Paul did? He's standing on the deck of a ship that's disintegrating below his feet. And you know I got to read this last verse. Good night. And you know what he says this? He says this. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Now, when you're on that ship, it's tough. Now, folks, listen, I'm not going to minimize. I don't want to do that because people are going through hard things. And when the ship is being destroyed underneath you, there's two voices. One of them's the voice of a liar, the devil, and one of them's the voice of God. And the liar says, it's hopeless. And God says, if you're breathing, there's hope. I'm not done with you. Have faith in me. Trust in me. Learn from your mistakes. Go on with a different attitude. Fix what you can. Get forgiven for what you can't fix. Move on. Open a new chapter. Hey, it's 2015. My prayer, I mean this. I've done this since the first day. My prayer for you and your family, and I mean everybody in this room, my prayer for you and your family from the first day of this year, and I'm going to pray it through the last day of this year, is that 2015 is the greatest, best year that your family has ever experienced when it comes to the things of the Lord. That's your preacher's prayer for you. And I promise you, there's two voices. One's the voice of despair, and it comes from the devil. One's the voice of hope. It comes from God. And God, whom I serve, whose I am and whom I serve, has come before you today to tell you that if you belong to him and if you'll serve him and if you'll believe him, you're going to get through this storm. And God's got something really special after this storm. There's some things he's got for you, and there's some things he wants you to accomplish, and there's some supernatural, I think supernatural things that he has for you in this upcoming year. So don't quit on God, because he hasn't quit on you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this story. Thank you for the example of a man. If we were to write out his biography and then study it carefully, his scriptural biography, if there's ever a man that at times perhaps would have been excused for turning back or quitting or being discouraged, it would have been the Apostle Paul. And thank you, dear Lord, for these principles, these life principles. There were some things that he was true to, a belief system that he had. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to adopt the outlook of an overcomer. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, dear God, to put our full faith in the God of heaven, our eyes fixed upon Jesus Christ, his Son. And help us, Lord, to walk every day of 2015, believing in you, listening to you, obeying you, serving you. Help us, dear God. We pray these things in Jesus' name.